you know, 99% of the time it does work really well, but I feel like what takes you to the next level is the one or two times you really thought through stuff critically and over prepared and used your creative mind. Like, that's where you get your confidence. And I've always felt like success comes to those too busy to be looking for it. And I also feel like success comes to those that prepare and execute the best they can.
What is going on, everybody? This is Drop with my buddy, Will Unknown. We're really excited, man. This is breaking ground on a whole new opportunity that we've been talking about forever. But welcome to Scratch That. Just a nice little play on words, man, of, you know, obviously the DJ Scratch mixed with just that phrase I say all the time. It really, in a weird, sick way, it stems back from when I was a kid watching Willy Wonka, and he used to say, strike that, reverse it. And I don't know, man, as I grew up, I would just get into a conversation, just start saying, scratch that. And, well, here we are, you know, to talk about life, love, the pursuit of DJs. And, yeah, man, Will, welcome for being the host here, man, with me.
No doubt. I love the name Scratch That. I feel like you and I, always trying to think outside the box, be creative. So how many times have I called you with an idea and then called you 5 minutes later with a new idea? So even the idea of Scratch That, of like, you know, you got to lose 100 grand to make your first million, got to lose 1 million to make your first 10 million. Like, we're always coming up with ideas and, oh, maybe this is a better idea. Maybe I wasn't so smart, you know, 6 months ago. So the idea of Scratch That, with the musicians that we are and the way that we're trying to grow and get into the next level here, I feel like is a great subject, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Absolutely, dude. And we've had so many rants over the years of just random stuff, and it just came to my mind. I was like, why aren't we recording this? And so, I mean, look, here we are recording this finally, and I'm excited for it, man. I really, really am. Yeah, so let's just dive into it, just to give y'all just, I'm sure 99.9% of the people that are going to listen to us already know us, but I'm truly, my name's Kyle. I hail from Washington, D.C. I went to college in Minneapolis. I studied music, and that's what really got me into where I am today in my career, like 20 years later. Yeah, living in Charlotte now, that's how William and I met, and man, really, really excited to see this scene grow here in Charlotte, man. So Will, man, why don't you tell us a little bit about you real quick?
Yeah, I'm so glad our paths crossed. I feel like you and I are aligned so similarly in a lot of things in life, more than just music. But, you know, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I went to South Carolina. Sports has always been a big part of my story. I've always loved music, but I've never really understood how to channel it. For me, it's always just been like, you know, Spotify playlist and trying to, you know, get the newest thing off of, you know, whatever website it was back in the day, because there was a lot of them. And then really when DJing fell into my lap, I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't understand the music industry. Come to find out, it is really similar to the sports industry, where you got to go and get it. You got to be innovative. You got to be long nights, long hours, creative. So I really appreciate how much you felt me. I feel like I've had the vision, but I haven't really understood music, you know, forever. So I'm just excited to be stepping into this. And like I said, you and I are aligned on so many things outside of music that it makes so much sense.
No, man, for sure. And honestly, I feel like I've helped, I mean, I don't even want to say taught, but just encouraged and helped those musicians and DJs come up. Honestly, you're one of the only guys that I'm still super connected with. And I hope that this goes in the right way for you, because like, you're one of the few people that I could say that has probably outgrown me. Your talent has become definitely challenging for me some days to keep up with. Your creativity is one of the things that I love about you the most, man. Like, I've always prided myself on being a super creative guy, whether it's a solution to a music problem or just being creative and trying something new. But dude, you are the guy who encourages me to push the envelope. And so when I thought, man, I want to do a pod, like, well, let's just not call it a pod. Let's call it a morning show. I want to be different, man. There's too many people that do damn pods out there, and I just want to be different, man. And so I think what I truly miss is the good old-fashioned morning show that I grew up in Washington, D.C., man. Hot 99.5, DC 101. Those were, like, my favorite shows, man, with, like, Elliot in the morning. And, yeah, man, so I'm happy that we're doing this. And you really brought something that I didn't even have this on our topics to talk about today, but one of the correlations I've really seen is the connection between athletes and musicians. I don't know if you've seen that, and you're a living testament of it. I know you weren't really big into musical arts, so to speak, before we met. Like, yeah, you had been in music. You had a passion for music. But I've seen that, man. Like, I got a good buddy, Jason Brown, heck of an athlete. Anything he touches athletically, you know, massively skilled at, but also a great musician. And I've seen that correlation. And now I won't say all great musicians are good athletes, and I can't say all good athletes are great musicians, but I've definitely seen that connection of abilities between athletes and musicians. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts? You see that? Does that catch a vibe with you? Is that,
it does. It does. Relate? I feel like, I mean, just a couple easy examples. If you look at Shaq right now, right? I mean,
yeah.
Hall of Famer, one of the best to do it, and he's out there DJing at every, you know, dubstep festival, Lollapalooza, you name it, because he's like, I can't get the same feeling from Game 7 as I can when there's a mosh pit, you know, on one of my sets. And I think it's true, too. I mean, you see Dom Dolla doing sets, and Travis Kelce rolls through, and you see Travis Kelce playing a game, and Dom Dolla rolls through, and it's like,
yeah.
I think the idea of how much music fuels athletes and vice versa, I feel like a lot of DJs wish they could, you know, dunk a basketball or be athletically gifted.
Truth.
And it's just like, you know, Drake, right? Like, he's in the locker room for probably too many teams at this point, and he's now bad luck. But like a lot of those guys, like J. Cole, like, you know, they wish they were in the NBA, and some of them have tried and, you know, done a decent job. But I just think those two things are so tightly knit and honestly drive our world more than any other two things. And I feel pretty confident about that music and sports are, they really do run the world.
It honestly, is. It really is the peak of entertainment, I would say, between those two things. And now just to piggyback off of what you said, like, I do remember being in overtime games, you know, in high school and college, and, you know, your buddy scores the game-winning goal. I played goalie, unfortunately, in lacrosse, so I never got that highlight moment of scoring a game-winning goal. But keeping a game-winning goal out, but when you have that win in overtime, or you have that win in the fourth quarter, and, like, you have that feeling, but that only comes so often, you know? Like, Game 7 only comes so often to so few people. But I'll say that the thing that I appreciate and the thing that I'm honored to do as a DJ is, like, when I hit the stage and I'm doing a set, like, I feel like I'm living Game 7 every single set. And I will say, and this isn't a backdoor brag, I'm just calling a spade, but, like, I feel like there's so few basic DJs that get into the energy like you and I get into the energy. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, you and I are wired the same to be entertainers. We are performers. Like, yeah, DJing, I'll say, to the basics, is not the most difficult skill out there. But I'll say, to become a really good DJ, it takes a lot of finessing, a lot of effort, a lot of practice. But, man, when you get that and you can mix it with being an entertainer where, you know, you're not just there to play music for people that are there, but you're playing music to keep people there, that it's a totally different feeling. And when you're doing that, man, I will say it really does correlate to that big game that you played or that big match that you had in college. Like, I don't know, man, like you get that comparison at all, or am I just like way
out?
I feel
like I've always said this, that there's transferable non-negotiables, right? The same thing that Kobe Bryant does, which is over prepare, over study, be over creative, work extra hard, is the same thing that DJs do, right? I know, and I really learned this from you. I think you and I are wired a lot in the sense of, like, a little bit of fear of failure. We're like, you're not going to go do an event and haven't thought about every possible situation to cover yourself,
so
or over-prepared, or have a crate. And a lot of DJs, man, they just show up and, like, you know, 99% of the time, it does work really well. But I feel like what takes you to the next level is the one or two times you really thought through stuff critically and over-prepared and used your creative mind, like, that's where you get your confidence. And I've always felt like success comes to those too busy to be looking for it. And I also feel like success comes to those that prepare and execute the best they can. And that's something that I feel like athletes and musicians have in common, because, you know, I'll never be on stage like a Zach Bryan or a Drake because I can't sing. But I mean, you have to prepare so much, just even from a choreographic standpoint, to go out there and perform. And the same is true with LeBron and these guys, right? I mean, people are traveling from other countries to watch you play.
Yeah.
You know, you better be showing up each night.
True story. And speaking of which, you know, the guy who is showing up over the last couple of years, man, I want to get into this, is it's John Summit. I know he's equally hated as he is loved in this space, man, but people travel all over the world to see him, is he a fad, is he just like the thing right now, like, is he like, I'm not saying Aoki cooled off or Aoki fell off or, you know, like Martin Garrix fell off or Tiesto fell off, but like, is it just the generation? Because, like, yeah, all right, Tiesto, Guetta, like, they were, I'm not saying my generation, like, we're massively different in age, but 10 years can do a lot, especially to the music scene, especially to those that listen to music. But I feel like John Summit is, like, he is the number one DJ out there right now. I don't know if that's, like, too big of a statement to make, but... but he's one of those guys. People come from all over the world to see him. He goes all over the world to perform. And, like, yeah, I know Aoki and all them still do it. And I saw him a couple of years ago, and, like, he's still fantastic. But I think because Summit's, like, the new big thing.
I also think his diversity is crazy. So when you go see, like, Tiesto, Aoki, like, you kind of know, like, what you're going to get. It's their staple stuff. They're the best producers to ever do it. David Guetta, Calvin Harris, you name it.
Right.
What I really love about John Summit is, like, he does his first stadium show at the Rams Stadium and then drops, like, a SoundCloud dub guy from Chicago's new, like, Cage the Elephant remix. And I'm just like, the dude can play house, big room, tech house, dubstep. I mean, you name it. Like,
he can play it, but does he produce, though? Or is he one of those guys
that... That's my thing is, I think as soon as he realized, like, where you are and he produced that, how big that went, I do think his next step is, like, heavy production. It seems like he's doing that a lot just via social media. But as far as showing up to a set and being diverse and not having, like... Even when I've seen Two Friends, right? Seen them a couple times. They play, generally speaking, the same stuff. I know what to expect. Yep. I always think that element of surprise, which comes from over-preparation, checking out, you know, low-hanging fruit on SoundCloud that you think might work. Like, his diversity in his sets is pretty wild. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. He plays great sets. They are incredible. They're super high energy, but I think that the biggest misconception that people have, and there's a couple documentaries actually out there on, like, Netflix about it, talk about Aoki and some of those other guys, and like let's get this straight real quick, because a lot of people don't follow DJ history and DJ come up the way that I follow it. And, like, Aoki was a basement vinyl DJ playing at Banana Split with DJ AM on Tuesday nights for free. And can cut it like no one else can on the ones and twos. But now he is also one of the greatest producers probably to walk the planet. He is so cutting edge, even with the technology that he uses and works with. But that's, like, the biggest misconception is people think, like, that. And Martin Garrix, like, who created, like, you know, Animals off of GarageBand in his bedroom with, like, 2 8-inch computer speakers. Like, people don't understand what goes into making those songs. They think they just get on stage and they've just waltzed their way into walking up there and hitting play with a thumb drive, which is true. A lot of DJs do that now, but they don't understand the countless hours that go into making that music. And you know for a fact, because you've sat with me, you and I have collaborated on at least a half dozen pieces to this point, like all the way through, like, our holiday stuff to the Masters Mix that's coming out. Shout out Masters Mix. The Thrill of Hope is going to be sick. But man, it takes a lot behind the scenes. What, 40, 80 hours to put some of our stuff together? Like, people don't understand that. They think they get up there, they hit play, and they jump around. But man, and that's where it's like, I don't know enough about John Summit to say, yeah, he's producing all of this stuff and he's getting up there and hit and play, which he would then rightfully deserve. But, you know, I know he's a great entertainer and I'm not trying to bash him on that, but it's just one of those things where I guess I don't even know how I got here in the combo, but I am concerned about the next generation of DJs. And unless the pivot happens to turn into Fred again, over and over, like the ability to have like musical composition in your back pocket where you can play multiple instruments, you can loop multiple instruments, like the samples that you're using in your songs, even if you're not playing them live, are recorded by you and you're not just dragging and dropping samples from Splice. Like right. That is going to determine the next generation of DJ and producer. That's my opinion. So
yeah, no, I think there's a reason why Rufus and Odessa and Fred again are so big, because people still really appreciate musical talent. But at the same time, music is evolving with technology and AI to where, like, you know, I wish it were true, but you don't have your Paramores or Third Eye Blind bands as much. They are kind of turning into, I mean, think about Skrillex and most of these guys like Aoki. They were
musicians. Rockers. Yeah.
They were musician punk rockers turned into producers, artists. But really with Fred again and those guys, I think you're going to see a lot more electronic music that doesn't look like press play, but they're up there truly playing all kinds of instruments that I hopefully can learn to play. And people have a real respect for Odessa and Rufus and some of those guys.
Yeah.
I feel like so.
And I've noticed like a big uptick in DJs being on stage with bands. I'm not saying like Fall Out Boy and Yellow Card and stuff like that, but I've seen it like, yeah, it started with rappers and then it started with rappers having full bands and a DJ. Like I'm definitely starting to see more of a DJ presence on stage and adding that there. Because look, everyone is also using click track when they play and everyone's using backtracks when they play. And also it's a great way to incorporate a DJ in that. But you know, I remember Crazy Town way back in the day. That's like where DJ AM got his come up. And you know, they were a band that fully indulged in having a DJ on stage with them. So it's really cool to see the versatility in what DJs can do and what they could do on stage. And just, I think that extra level of like sound that they bring and energy that they bring to, you know, a music set. But, you know, I don't want to get off the topic of Summit yet, because like this was something I wanted to talk about today. Did you see that video that Adele posted about John Summit?
I did. She basically canceled John Summit accidentally.
I think John Summit canceled her. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think Adele's great, but
who listens to Adele still?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I didn't even know she was still doing concerts like that. I also feel like, yeah, at the end of the day, John will probably win that. But I also think it's funny. You know, it just shows that DJs don't always get the most love, because he's at the height of the game and she's a megastar for sure. But
yeah, but look at who listens to John Summit, like the current young generation. And I highly doubt a steady percentage of those people listen to Adele. Like I'm in that weird overlapping, I guess, age bracket where I listened to Adele. She took time off, rightfully so, as she deserved to. I mean, everyone does. You gotta, like, nothing is more important than both your physical, your mental, and your emotional health. And you know, her taking time off is cool, but I think that also creates a disconnect between your audience and the next generation that can catch it. When, I'll be honest, I don't think my parents know who John Summit is. Right. I'm sure my dad, he listens to current music. I'm sure he's heard his stuff in the car, but wouldn't be able to be like, oh yeah, it's John Summit. I don't know, man. Like I know he fired back and was like, you know, Adele now canceled, but like, I think people take stuff way too personal. I know in a weird thing, we're dealing with something in our neighborhood that my wife posted on Facebook about a loud car in the neighborhood that wakes us up every morning. It's all souped up. And, you know, it's just funny how people, they really do more than ever. They hide behind their keyboards and just throw shots. Like, you know, I hate to admit this, but I do watch reality TV with my wife. And the whole thing that just happened with the season of The Bachelor, do you happen to watch that, or am I off on my own on this? All right, I'm off on my own.
You're on your own. I am The Bachelor,
Kyle. It is true that Will is The Bachelor. But no, man, it's just like how people, if they got anything to say, they troll behind their little keyboards, and that's their safe space. And I miss the good old days of, like, if you had beef, you walked up to somebody and you said it right to their face, and that was that. Nowadays, you got people suing people over stupid stuff, and you just got people making comments left and right that just don't hold a lot of weight other than your own personal opinion. And everyone is entitled to their personal opinion, but man, like, stop taking shots at people. That's all I got to say. Like, let's just all love thy neighbor. Anyways, I could go down that rabbit hole for a minute. But, man, like, let's make the turn. I really want to get into you. You have had quite the adventure for, what, the last 2 months or so, give or take? How long was it?
I really feel like, honestly, dating back to when I went to Miami last summer. But, yeah, really the last 2 months, I feel like, one thing that I really think helps people go to the next level is expanding their mind, right? So if you just stay stagnant in a space, and don't get me wrong, like, you know, having roots and stuff like that is truly important. But as somebody who's trying to really get out there and go to the next level, I think it's so important to see how other people and other cultures do things. So particularly for this music. So I kind of had this thing last year where I was like, I want to go to Miami. I want to go to New York City. I want to go to Chicago. I want to go to the places where the best are doing it and rub shoulders with them and see, you know, how it goes. And so kind of been on a little bit of an adventure to study. I don't know. I feel like I'm a big student of the game. I feel like that's the only thing I have that can really take me to the next level. And so just studying. I love music so much. Like, I can sit there and just watch people that I respect do it and try and learn something from it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And obviously, you and I are in different seasons of life. I envy the opportunities that you get, but at the same time, completely happy and content with my life. Being married, having a kid is fantastic, and watching my kid grow into becoming a prodigy musician. I know that's a bold statement, but it's true. Like, he's so much better, more talented, and more versatile at music than I was at 5 years old. It's crazy to think that I have a 5-year-old musician in my house. But, like, you're in a completely different season, which is awesome, because it's so cool to look back and be, like, best friends with you and just see what you're doing and how you're experiencing life, which it's like, man, I never really did that. Like, yeah, I toured, and that was cool, but, like, it wasn't like I was able to just pick up and throw a dart on the map and be like, that's where I'm going. But, yeah, like, you did this whole, like, travel thing for, like, the last 2 months, man. Like, I really want to get into that, because I think it's so important, because it wasn't like you were just traveling leisurely, even though it was. Like, you were experiencing culture, like you said. You were experiencing music. Like, I think that's going to come back, and that's going to benefit you, and that's going to benefit us as we, like, progress into these next stages of, like, our music careers together. But, man, like, you were in Seattle, you were in Scottsdale, you were in Chicago. I think you even went down to Dallas too, right?
I did, yeah.
Yo, like, talk me about it. What was your favorite stop? What was your favorite place, and why was that?
I mean, I love Chicago. I've been to the other places a handful of times. I've never been to the heart of Chicago like that. I feel like that probably would take the cake for me, just from, like, a vibrancy standpoint, probably more where I'm at in life, which is, you know, singles, people trying to cut their teeth type of stuff. But I also feel like it's just so creative, right? Like, it's such a diverse city. There's so many people there that have so many different life experiences that you can learn from. And I feel like one thing that I'll always try and do, and hopefully have always done a decent job of, is, like, you just take bits and pieces of what you're learning and what you respect about other people, and then try and incorporate them into your life. And that, it's like when the pandemic happened, okay, and nobody had ever experienced that before. Okay, we're in a phase of life where there's no handbook, there's no rules. People have not experienced what this is like. Yeah. This is when creativity ticks in. And I always feel like whatever the standards are, like, I love that. But I also feel like I've got to learn from other people to go to places that I personally haven't been to before because I can't go there myself, which is why I really appreciate you and other people that have been extremely kind and gracious to me to help me get there.
Well, thanks, man. No, and I will say the blessing of the pandemic to the artist was it pulled the rug out from underneath of us and put our feet in like concrete for a minute, but only for a minute. And I think those true passionate artists, those true creative souls took that and really harnessed it. I'll tell you what, I haven't.
But right back to John Summer real quick. Like a lot of people through the pandemic got really famous through Twitch.
Yes.
TikTok.
That's where I was going.
And I think almost, you know who Benson Boone is by chance? I didn't discover him until social media. And it's like all these guys that are amazing artists, I really feel like I've discovered them on social media, not Spotify or in concert. And I think that's something that the pandemic flipped its head on. It's like you can really get your stuff out through social media.
Yeah, man. And I recorded more videos than I know what to do with. I found out what a TRRS converter was, which is like where you're able to plug in and record on your cell phone and use your Thunder or Lightning Jack as like a mic. Like I think that my DJ skills went tenfold during the pandemic because I didn't have anything else to do. I was a full-time musician, and when you're a full-time musician and you can't perform, what else are you going to do? You're either going to sit there and let your game die, or you're gonna build it, man. And it was a hard season for sure, but it was a great season looking back and being like, man, I really got into producing heavily during the pandemic. I really was able to hone in on my mixing so much better during the pandemic, which was a lot of fun. But you know, like pivoting back to Chicago for a hot second here, like you met a really great DJ out there who you connected with well. And matter of fact, you got to kind of fill in for a split second there for an opportunity on St. Patty's Day, man. Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I feel like people up there are so nice. And I feel like that's been true really across the country with DJing. I haven't met anybody that wasn't, you know, super kind or wasn't willing to help. And you just never know. It kind of
– yeah.
I feel like now my thought is like if you just, you know, walk around on big holidays with a USB, there's a chance you could fill in somewhere. But
so true.
Kind of like a lesson learned. But I do feel like people have been.
It'll get you into any club as well if you have a USB.
Yeah, you just say if you can't get
in a
club,
I'm the DJ. I got
USB. It's a $100 fee. Just show them your USB.
Show them your USB. I'm playing the 2 a.m. set. Let me in.
Yeah, you got to figure out who the headliner is. But, yeah, man, I feel like my whole takeaway from traveling has been that people are more than willing to help you to get to where you want. But at the same time, there's got to be a deep intrinsic motivation. Even with you and I, it's like you always have responded and helped me so much. But, like, I probably annoy the hell out of you, honestly.
None.
Because I want it.
Fact
you know?
Is none on that, bro. How many times a week do I call you? Yeah, I know true. I call you at least twice a week when I go out to pick up dinner.
But back when we first got rolling in music and I didn't know really anything, I mean, I was asking some like, you know, DJ 101 dummy questions, and you were very gracious about that. So
because I love that, man. I want people to succeed. Like, yeah, we'll definitely get into that on our next episode. But like, I really want to talk about like the guys that helped me as well. I want to give a shout out to them on our next episode because like, there are two types of DJs out there, and that's what we're gonna cover. You know, in the next one is like there are two types of DJs. They're the like leave me alone, get out of my face, DJ. Like go kick rocks. And then there's the DJs that are like, man, what can I do for you? Like, how can I help you? And I know we're both surrounded with a few of them, man, but it's so important to have that. Like, if you are an artist listening to this, and I don't care if you're a DJ, a musician, a sculptor, a painter, whatever it may be, interpretive dancer, like, man, just have that faith in those that want to learn. For me, like, one of the things that I get the most fulfillment out of is having people turn on their own light bulbs, having people find passion in the same creative gifts and opportunities that I have. And man, when I saw you like take flight in the DJ world, like there was not a better feeling. I mean that, brother, like sincerely, like there was not a better feeling than when I saw you starting to connect the dots and put it all together. And then when you went out on your own, That was, to me, like, the greatest step of achievement for any DJ. Like, yeah, DJs use agencies to get work, but once you get enough work, like, that's it. That is the point of it. You know what I mean? Like, get yourself going, and dude, you've grown your game so much where it's hard for you to take work. And that, to me, dude, job done. Like, yeah. I know I could go to bed at night, like, not even worrying, because you have absolutely taken over your own game. And so, really proud of you, dude. Really am.
No, man, I appreciate it. I feel like, you know, I hate saying that I'm going to use a Clemson reference here, but Dabo Sweeney was always like, and within NIL, this may not be true anymore, but like, you got to build it and they'll come, and like, you're going to attract what you're about and all these things. I think Mel Gibson said that, right? Huh?
The Field of Dreams. Is Dabo quoting Field of Dreams on you now?
I don't know. I heard it in a podcast or morning show maybe. And I feel like it's so true though, right? Like, you and I love the craft. Like, I like putting out videos. I like doing mashups. I like doing all the things that brand ourselves. And I feel like I've actually, you know what the craziest thing about all of this is, Kyle? I've actually never asked anybody to hire me as a DJ, which is kind of crazy because I feel like I do get a lot of work and I've been blessed and thankful for that. But I love it so much. I just want to like put good content on social media for people, create really good experiences when people do hire me. Yep. And I can say to this day, I have never actually asked for any work. And I feel like
that's awesome.
I'm okay with that because I feel like it will come in the right spaces for me as I keep building myself out.
Man, I love that. And honestly, man, I think that's a great place to leave this pod. And thank you to anyone who is engaging with this. Will, man, thank you for hosting this with me. I'm excited for many, many more of these. I think that this was a good soft opener. I think we're going to have a lot more energizing topics to talk about as we move forward. But this was us just really, you know, other than talking about the come up and John Summit and stuff like that, man, we didn't really have an agenda today. Like, we're going to be the most transparent people on here, just real raw, real unfiltered. We'll probably say a lot of things wrong and we'll have to say scratch that. Which is really the premise of the podcast. But yeah, thanks for listening today. Hope you all have a good one. Keep it real. Keep it safe. Keep it real safe.